Yeah. I'm sorry?
Past five or before?
No, it would be in Genesis. What do I have? I think we're going to be chapter 2. And while you're getting there, have you ever had a computer problem and you call the computer techie guy and he tells you, well, just reset it.
Yeah.
Restart the button. Or even worse, you pay him $100 to come out and he comes to your house or your office. I see what's wrong. And he just pushes the button, restarts it, and it's all fixed. And then you got to pay him still. Well, that's known as reset the factory settings. And when I was first getting into ministry back when Danny and Savannah were just being born, we were living in Folsom, California.
Yes, where the prison is.
Yeah. You know, I started learning about computers on my own and learning how to write websites and things like that. It was the beginning of, that was the prehistoric ages of the internet. And I can't tell you how many times I went to a client's office and that's all I had to do is reset the factory settings. Or I was hired for a number of years at a Bible college and half of my job was taking care of all the computers, and the ladies would always get so mad because all I would do is come up and restart it, you know, reset the factory settings. And I used to get a kick out of it, but, you know, I think there's something profound about that statement. And it kind of inspired a message in me, and maybe today it'll resonate with you, maybe today as you leave after church, you'll kind of remember this, and you'll see some opportunities in your life where this little humorous bit kind of sticks, but kind of makes sense. So before we get into the scripture, as I was thinking through this title, you know, humanity has factory settings, don't we? I mean, if you think about a computer or any kind of machine, it's made with original settings. You know, your cars, it has factory settings. And the factory designs it and creates it so that it operates smoothly, does all that it's supposed to do, and accomplishes the objective of that machine or that computer or that phone. And within that design, there's a framework for new things to be added. You think about it. When we buy a computer or a phone or any electronic gadget, it's set up, it even anticipates that we're going to get new things, we're going to download them, we're going to install them on the computer, and we're going to be changing the setup a little bit away from factory settings. And it's going to do new things for us. It's going to accomplish some new goals and things for us to do. And aren't humans kind of the same way, if you think about it? God created us with DNA, with the brain, with the heart. And we're continually growing. Even in our spiritual journey, our spiritual life, we're continuing to grow. So there were and are the original settings for humanity. You know, God created Adam and Eve. And when he created them, he created them a certain way. And it was good. It was very good. And he created them to do certain things and to follow certain things, to have a relationship with him. And so these were maybe the original factory settings, you know, the first man and woman. And then, since then, many people have been born, but every one of us, every person that has been born, was also uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully made by God. I think when we grow up, our parents and our teachers try to tell us that, you know, babies are created by their mom and dad. But that's, you know, that's kind of maybe the simple approach. But in reality, it is God knitting us together, knitting each individual human together uniquely. Every one of us have a slightly different DNA. Every one of us has unique features. So we're not all a bunch of robots. And within this creation, within each one of us, within all of humanity, there are factory settings that God put in there to help define and create a relationship with Him. There are needs that God has designed into each one of us that causes us to need Him for something, or need others, to need to worship, to need to have community and family. And there are settings wired into us that define our marriages. So, you could summarize all of these. When we look at Adam and Eve, the first humans created, that God's original design was that we would abide in Him and Him in us. So those are factory settings, if you will. So if you're in Genesis, turn to chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there He placed the man whom He had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows from the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Okay. The gold of that land is good. The Bellum and the Onyx Stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden and to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. She will be a reluctant wife, a reluctant pastor's wife." Did you say that? No, thank God. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name, its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. He slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which He had taken from the man and brought her to the man. So you teenagers, listen to these next few verses. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Already a question.
So does that mean Eve is the equivalent of Windows Task Manager?
Could be. Prefigure.
So, what's important here? This story is the factory setting. This is the factory settings for humanity, for man and woman, for families. In this, God clearly states gender. Here's a man, he. There's a woman, she. That's it. And we see as time goes on that we, as people, choose our spiritual identity. By that I mean, we choose who's going to be our master, who we're going to follow, who we're going to surrender our life. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, he sends the Holy Spirit to draw us to him. But you know that mankind has the freedom to say, no, I don't want to follow you, God. I don't want to believe in you, Jesus. And so, in that sense, we choose our spiritual identity. Are we going to be children of God? As we were singing, are we going to belong to God? Are we going to belong to Jesus? Are we going to be saved by his blood? We choose that. It's been done for us, but we can choose whether we're going to follow him or follow Satan.
What a good message.
So, what's important about that? What's significant about that is our spiritual identity dictates a lot of the other choices that we make in life. Right now, we live in a time where there's this thing called sexual identity or gender identity. I'm not quite sure if those are the right words, but the premise is that we can choose whether we want to be a man or a woman or something in between. But the factory says nothing about that. Our original setting, God's original plan and design. As you know, here we teach that we should love all, we should love our neighbor, we love others like Jesus. So this is not a message of judgment, but rather it's a message of fact, of being reset to the factory settings, resetting our understanding to the factory settings. The confusion with sexual identity and gender identity is more one of misdirection and confusion from searching in all the wrong places for significance. Remember we said a little bit earlier, the factory settings is God has designed some things into us that are intended to draw us to him. In that, we all have a desire to be significant. All of us want to have some impact. We want to be significant to others, to other people in our family, whatever. But if you really think about it, we have a desire to be significant. And we search for that. That's why Facebook exists. It gives a voice to anybody and everybody in the world to try to work out that search for significance. I'm not saying that that's what we should be doing, but it does reveal, doesn't it? Man's heart. So, especially for you kids this morning that are sitting in here, the message that you're hearing this morning is not going to be something you hear elsewhere, most likely. There are things that you're being taught, and you will be taught, that are not the factory settings. Not. In other words, homosexuality, transgender, binary, fluid, even fornicator, those are not original factory settings. That is not God's design for us. And that's why we read out of Genesis right here. We need to revert back and look back to the Word of God and what he said.
That's probably why I don't have the verse handy with me right now, but isn't that probably why the Bible says to test the spirits, whether they be of God, because everything, literally everything that we are exposed to, can either, since we're talking computers here, corrupt our factory settings or make them more in line with what God wants.
Yeah.
Everything from the music we listen to the TV we watch, to what we read, to the people we talk to.
Amen. I call it man's laws and universe laws. And you follow the biblical laws, what you're supposed to do and not do, his laws.
Amen.
And that's just two sets.
Yeah.
And it does. More connected.
Right. So, I think many of us would come to the same conclusion that the world right now is not functioning within normal parameters. So you know, Star Trek is, speaking of movie. American society has drifted so far from the Bible. You know, we, just by way of illustration, us older people, you know, this maybe makes a little more sense because we've lived through the transition. We've lived through the drifting. You young people right now are being raised in the very far removed drifting. So somebody's got to show you, teach you, speak to you what the real world should be in the foundation, the factory setting. So our life should revolve around God's Word, the church as the center of the community, the Bible as God's Word. It should revolve around Jesus and the Holy Spirit and work and careers. You know, the Bible teaches us to desire to work. It tells us that work is actually medicine to a man's soul. You know, when I run into people who are not feeling good, they're beat down in life, they're depressed, and they come here homeless, you know, one of the first diagnosis and prescriptions for me is you need work. And so if they're willing, we give them volunteer work to do. Because once you start doing that, you begin to feel a little sense of accomplishment. You begin to feel significant in some way. I can accomplish something. Look what I made. I did. And then they're maybe propped up enough to go out and get a job where they work 40 hours a week and get a paycheck. So that is the real world. That is the real foundation. But the way that the world has drifted is that we are taught that abortion is normal. It's desired. We're taught that suicide is just a great solution to our problems. We're taught to take drugs. We're taught, just be spiritual. It doesn't matter what you believe in. Just be spiritual.
Well, and even from what you said, the goal that Satan has implanted is your goal is to work so you don't have to work anymore. Right? Isn't that everybody's like, I want to get to the point that I don't have to work.
Yeah.
And where God clearly says that working is
helping. Half need the money or something.
Well, it's like all these books where, you know, get rich, retire at 30. You know, there's tons of those types of books out there, but if you retire at 30, what are you going to do?
Amen.
Well, and how unhappy are those people?
We need purpose.
Yeah.
The world teaches us that it's normal to engage in sex without marriage. That, well, you younger people have heard this term, friends with benefits. I won't go into the details.
You were the one not supposed to get.
You know, and we have in the world, you know, same-sex marriage is becoming normalized. Like if we don't, as Christians, agree with it, there's something wrong with us because it's normal. The world is saying that there's nothing abnormal, nothing wrong when having children without marriage, you know, without getting married. You know, God has designed that we form a family a certain way. That's what we read in Genesis, that The man and woman shall leave their parents and they shall cleave to one another and they shall become one flesh. So these are the factory settings for a reason and a purpose.
On that subject, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
So where does this leave you, youth, you teens? You are charged with speaking the gospel of Jesus boldly, and then to live it out. It's sad. It saddens us when kids are growing up, they get to be teenagers, high school and college. They drift away from the Bible, from living like Christians. So we're back to resetting to factory settings. If we're going to reset the community that we live in, you know, thinking about the world might be just too much to think about at one time. It is for me, I get overwhelmed. But if we think about a community, just section it off, say Aspen Springs, we can reset the community.
Amen.
So for each one of us, and especially you young people, don't just love God with your words on Sundays at discipleship training. Rather, every day of the week, obey Him with your mind, your bodies, and your spirits. Obey Him. To truly love God is not to compromise. It's not to compromise. The key in loving God is to love what He says. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, if that's true, we all agree that you find what God says, you find what God wants in the Bible. We've got this whole thing written out here. You know, you read books, you read your phones, you read computers, and you listen to movies and YouTube videos and all kinds of things, and they're teaching you. Sometime, just check yourself. How much time I spend listening to that versus reading the Bible? And that will hurt you. I can give you an example. And I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just saying we all need to do that because it's so easy to get drawn away from that. So it's overwhelming. It's about the only adjective I can come up with that everybody, especially young people, are being taught from YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and you know, movies and your phone,
Twitter,
yeah, all those things. I'm sorry.
I said I don't use any of those.
Where did you just get banned from? Yeah, you can't make statements like that in the college setting, like you.
We're not saying that all of that is a bad. We should not use it because everything. You know, the Satan tries to use God to use it for good. So, you know, the message is not, you know, stay off all of that and get back to the prehistoric ages. It's just be careful. Be discerning and selective and try to use it for good. There's all kinds of good Christian content on those things, too. But if you don't know your Bible, if you're not at least somewhat familiar with it, how are you going to recognize what you're running into in the media? It's bombarding you every day. So let's finish with this concept, this thought. Maybe right now, after hearing this part of the message so far, in your spirit, you're feeling anxious. You're feeling, there's so much against me. How can we possibly accomplish it? How can we be peaceful? How can we keep this stuff out of our lives? How can we, you know, love others like we're supposed to? We install the filter.
We have a built-in filter.
Which is?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. So, sometimes, we're all going to find that our life needs to be reset. We're like that computer.
Yeah.
How often do we need to be reset? You know, I think that's a custom personal thing.
I mean,
as many times as it takes to
exactly.
get it right. As many times as it takes.
You know, you may be needing it daily, you may be needing weekly, monthly, whatever. And mm-hmm. and the question then becomes, how do you know when you need resetting? And I think the answer there is when you start feeling like that computer that needs to be reset. It's frozen up. It's not quite working. It's spitting out wrong things, things that you didn't ask for. It's not doing what you want it to do. And you start feeling that way. You start feeling anxiety, anger. You have no desire to want to read God's word or go to church or praise God. You know, these things are the indicators it's time to call somebody. And lo and behold, we can all call the Holy Spirit at any point in time, the master technician. And he will come. He will come and he will reset that button. And you don't have to pay him. So, when that happens, when you've been reset, what does it look like? What does it look like? All of a sudden, we should find that we have more peace in our life. We find that we're able to go out and reach into people's lives instead of going out, oh man, I don't know if I'll make it. No. Because God wants us to go out and reach into other people's lives. To fellowship. So, you might be asking, okay, I got part of the picture. I just call on God. He'll send His Spirit to reset me. But what does that look like? How do I do that? So turn with me to Colossians. Go all the way about halfway through the New Testament. Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3. This goes on your note sheet. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. This sounds too simple almost, doesn't it? Keep seeking the things above. There's that song out, Look Up, Child. I don't remember who does it, but you know, look up, seek the things above. The things that are above are the things of God. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So Jesus is there, right there with God. He's seated. What is he doing there, seated next to God? Anyone?
Interceding
for us. Set your mind on the things above. Not on the things that are on the earth. That's profound. Mm-hmm. That's too simple. The things that are above. Set your mind on the things up there, not the things that are on earth. What are we always doing? We're thinking about the things that are on earth. Ah, my car's broken. Ah, my car won't move at all. Ah, you know, I have this bill. You know, these are things that are on earth. So set your mind on the things above. Why? Well, if we can do that, we can get reset to factory settings where God has given us the ability to go through life and, moreover, to impact other people's lives. So often, the piece of software that's in us that is messing us up in life, that's causing us to be locked up, is we are thinking about ourselves too much.
Amen. Is it the Satan virus?
Amen.
Yeah, the Satan virus, huh?
Satan virus.
Yeah. Verse 3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died. Your old man has died. Your old self has died. You've been crucified with Christ. You've been raised up to new life. This is that process of becoming born again. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory.
What is he talking about here? Where does he come up with this stuff? When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when is Christ going to be revealed? Didn't he already come? Yes. But he's going to come again. And that's what we remember when we do communion. We're proclaiming his death until he returns again. He's coming again. That's the great news. It should give us great joy, comfort, and hope. When he comes again, he'll be revealed in glory. We don't exactly know what that looks like, but even better, he says, we too will be revealed in glory. What does revealed mean? Revealed means just kind of all of a sudden visible. Appear. We have great stuff to look forward to. So when you are getting bogged down and your spirit is locked up and frozen,
yep,
get reset to the factory settings.
Amen.
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 Good word, Pastor. Good word.